Hello and welcome to this episode of the Corporate Buzz podcast. I'm your host Kirtana Tiwari and I'm here with Money Control's Corporate Bureau Chief Prince Thomas to discuss all the top news in corporate India this week. Hi Prince, welcome to the show.
Hi Kirtana, thank you.
Prince, let's begin with the aviation sector. The Air India employee consortium that expressed interest for the privatization of the airline, they did not make it to the next round of divestment. Can you explain what exactly happened here?
Yeah, so as we knew, the consortium was one of the many players who had submitted their expression of interest for Air India. The other players are Tata Sons and sources had told us that even its promoter, Ajay Singh, is also in the fray in his private capacity.
Right.
And then later on, names like Pawan Dubey also came out. Now it looks like the government, as it has said, it has reached out to the suitors who have been shortlisted for the next round. And the consortium has been disqualified. We hear that when Pawan Ruya or the Interrupts Fund, which was headed by NRI Lakshmi Prasad, all of them have been disqualified from going to the second round. So which means that effectively it's between Tata Sons and Ajay Singh, unless there is someone else also, because the problem is the government initially said by January 5th it will be telling or making announcement on who the shortlisted suitors are. But then later on it said that it's going away from the said process and it's not going to make public the names, and supposedly to ensure that the process is confidential. No, but what robs us is of the information, because we should remember that neither Tata Sons nor Ajay Singh has officially confirmed that they are interested in Air India. This is all coming off the record source-based reporting. So that's where it is standing. Now, sources tell us that Tata Sons and Ajay Singh, they have moved to the second round. And the second round, what happens is that they get access to the data room to do their due diligence, and after which they need to submit a financial bill. Now, we don't know the timeline of this because the government hasn't shared. In fact, the government hasn't yet officially made any statement on the suitors it has shortlisted. So this is all coming from off the record source-based reporting and what we hear from industry sources. So that's where the Air India divestment stands right now. One could say that Tata Sons is favored to get it, but then you can't, you know, really rule out Ajay Singh, because he's shown often in the past too that, you know, he's capable of running an airline. He turned around SpiceJet once, and he's been able to, you know, lead SpiceJet out of the turbulence of COVID in the last 1 year, whereas many people doubted if he would be able to. And then he has access, he's got great access to the policymakers and the power corridors of Delhi. So it would be interesting to see how it goes. It would have been nice if the government was a little more, in the sense, communicative in terms of where the divestment stands now. But this is where we are.
Okay. Moving on to the next story, Prince. Prince, in the Shapoorji Pallonji case, a substantial amount of money of the debt has been restructured. Can you explain what exactly is happening here and how the, you know, lenders have arrived at the particular number?
So, you know, to give a context and background to it, we know that the group has been facing some headwinds.
Right.
And basically because of already it had some debt, and then the whole debt repayment capacity for the group went bust because of the COVID, because much of the construction real estate projects got stalled, and that is the main bread and butter operation for the group.
Right.
Now what's happened is that what complicated thing is that the group couldn't exercise the stake it holds in Tata Sons. You know, it has about 18% stake in Tata Sons, which is a holding company for the Tata Group. And there is a kind of a tussle because Cyrus Mistry, the former Tata Sons chairman, is from the Shapoorji family. There is a legal tussle going on. And because of which, Tatas have contested Pallonji's right to sell the stake in Tata Sons, and also contested Pallonji's suggestion that it could swap this stake with some other, with share in some other Tata company. So what this has meant is that this 18% stake is actually a gold mine, you know. Valuations may vary a lot, but it's still a huge amount of money. We're talking multiple billions of dollars.
Right.
Now, the problem for the family is that they can't use this money, use this stake to monetize it and, you know, clear some of the debt that they have. And the problem is because of low cash flow generation, they're not able to repay the, make the interest payments too. So they have gone through debt restructuring with the banks, which has been allowed by the government also because of COVID, allowed by the government for overall sectors, whoever is facing the stress. So out of the total debt that is there, some part of it, the banks have agreed to restructure it. And rest, the group is trying to repay that part of debt, the remaining part, by selling some of his assets.
Mm-hmm.
So there are at least three assets that the company is looking to entirely divest or divest partly. And I think the target is to monetize to the value of about 9,000 to 10,000 crore, which will kind of take care of around half of the total debt that the company has. And probably the rest of it would probably be restructured. We have to wait for the details and because of the, and also the official statement from the company, and that probably will come once all this is finalized with the banks, and the banks probably will also make a statement. But it is a good sign because, it surely was, the group was surely under stress and the legal, tussle also is not getting over anytime soon, hopefully sometime later next year, this year. So this restructuring will give it some breathing space.
Right. Since there is still effects of the COVID pandemic, Prince, mm-hmm. Would it be the right time to sell these assets for the company?
Yeah, I agree. It's not ideally the you know the best time to sell any of your assets. But the good thing is that the Indian economy has really rebounded well. We've seen that GDP numbers have improved, the demand is improving. Yes, of recent weeks, the infection numbers have increased, but then the vaccine is also in play now. So the overall rebound in demand and the markets have also been largely positive. I think that should augur well. And these assets are good assets. I mean, these are credible assets, have performed well, have a good track record. So Shapur, the group should be able to get a decent valuation.
Right. And since you mentioned, let's move on to the vaccine updates, Prince. This week we saw that the health ministry, they announced that the cost of Covishield has been reduced to less than 200 rupees per dose.
Right.
Do you think this will change, you know, the number of people getting the vaccines at this point?
I think supply, I don't think was ever a problem because I think between Serum and Bharat Biotech, despite the criticism that has been had, I think they have enough capacity right now to supply to whatever demand is there. Now, the thing that's holding back is one, the frontline workers who were supposed to get the vaccines in the first phase. Now, not everyone came forward and that kind of slowed down. There were also technical glitches with the app and that also hasn't been perfected. Now in the second phase, we are again looking at a very specific segment of the population. We are looking at the senior citizens and those are above the age of 45 with comorbidities, which means that, you know, we're not looking at the, we're looking at a large enough part of the population, but then it's not going to, it's not come to the part where you can walk in and start getting vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
It is rational in a way because of the population that we have, and if everyone, you know, goes ahead and goes to the hospital and starts standing in queue for vaccination, it's going to be a mayhem. So I think this is a good way to control and control the vaccination process. The only thing is we need to scale it up because in some of the states, especially Maharashtra and then in Kerala, we see numbers have really increased. And the only way to beat this is to increase the vaccination and scale it up. So I think the price right now is not that important because even if it was 250 rupees, I don't think it's very expensive. I think even with or without government subsidy, I think 250 rupees for something like this, I think everyone is fine with doing it. Now, the interesting part here, I think, is that private companies, and we have heard people like Kiran Mazumdar, Azim Premji, a lot of people coming and saying that to open it up, you know, right. Let the company start vaccinating their employees and families.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would, one, it will be structured because companies will do it. And second, it will immediately mean that a huge workforce, and many of them would be frontline also, would get vaccinated. And that will really help in scaling up the whole vaccination process. So I think there are multiple things to it. I think the crucial thing now is right now is to scale it up as soon as possible.
And also another interesting news with respect to the vaccines is that this week Delhi HC asked Serum Institute and Bharat Biotech to disclose the COVID vaccine manufacturing capacities.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is happening here and can you give us the background of it?
I think people generally probably they're saying that, you know, when India itself needs so much of vaccine and you have a huge population, why are these companies exporting?
Right.
But what we need to understand is, like I mentioned before, this has been regulated by the government. And what we have to critically look at is the kind of demand is there. Is that demand being met? Some of the states said that they have a supply issue and all that. But some of these, but these states were among the ones who were refusing one type of the vaccine. And they were looking only for the other kind of vaccine. So those are policy matters. But overall, if you look at if there is a mismatch in supply and demand, I don't think so. Though there could be chances of that because even Serum Institute has said that the raw material that's needed for vaccination, that is, you know, becoming short in supply. That's because mostly it comes from the U.S. and U.S. seems to be controlling it.
Mm-hmm.
That could become a matter of concern if that really impacts production and then cuts into the supply of vaccine. But right now, I don't think supply is that major issue.
Okay.
I think it's the whole thing about remove the glitches in the COVID app, scale up the vaccination process and opening it up to the private sector.
Right, right. Finally, Prince, let's come to the auto sector. We've seen that the February auto sales numbers are out and the passenger vehicle sales has grown by 11% and two-wheelers has dropped by 16%.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain these numbers?
Yeah, sure. So I think, well, it's pleasantly surprising because one didn't expect the auto numbers to, especially the car numbers, to keep improving after the new year. Because till then you had the impact of the festival season and the new year spending on the car sales. But then we have seen in January and now in February too, car sales have improved. And that's a very, very good sign. It's a bit of a, the only damper here is that the two-wheeler sales have gone down. One explanation would be that two-wheeler sales in the urban areas would have been impacted. And that's because in many of these customers would be trying to migrate to the cars because of the whole safety, social distancing perception. So that must have, made some change in the way the customer is spending. And when you look at the car sales specifically, you see that SUVs are the one which are again kind of driving the demand. And in fact, the overall share of SUVs have continues to increase in the overall car market pie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. Despite the price, it's not that all the sales that is happening is in the entry level SUVs, but it's also in the higher end, middle end SUVs. So which means that there is appetite for cars, there is appetite for SUVs. And also it's helped that many companies have come out with, you know, launches. I mean, this has been a busy January, February, we have seen multiple launches happening from nearly all the players there.
Right.
So I think all that buzz has helped and the fact that everyone is looking for their own personal mobility has also helped. So this is good and also you should remember that we are comparing it with last year when we were supposed to get into that BS, next level of the BS regulation.
BS6.
And that had hampered the sales a bit last year. So probably that is helping also this year.
Right. And in general, when the summertime comes, in the next couple of months, it would be summer season. Mm-hmm. Would the sales improve?
Well, it's very difficult to see because for nearly all businesses, the first quarter of any financial year is a bit of slow. And things start picking up, you know, after the summer subsides and people are back from the summer vacation. That is a time when really consumption also starts going up. But we'll have to see how things work out this time because this is not the usual year, not the normal times. And we should again remember that the fear of the viruses continues.
Mm-hmm.
So people will still want to avoid public transportation as much as possible and use their own, their own vehicles. So let's see how it evolves this demand for cars.
Right. Thank you so much, Prince, for all these details.
Hey, thank you, Kidna. And I should tell our readers that this is Kidna's last podcast with us. So, Kidna, it was great having you all these while. And how was it for you?
Yes, thank you, Prince, for mentioning it. It has been a wonderful experience, joining the MC podcast team and, learning and contributing to it. Thanks once again, Prince, for your contributions too.
Hey, welcome, Kidna. Glad to have had work with you.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of the Corporate Buzz podcast. If you have any other queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay locked down to Money Control. Thank you for listening.